I'm Hugh.
I'm Linda.
Together we're Hinda.
And this is Hindacast.
Linda is beaming from ear to ear. She is leading 9-7.
I'm so easily pleased, Buzz.
9 points to 7.
And are we really surprised?
2 points in the lead after
Winner.
The first week. Okay. We are covering episodes 17 to 20 of series 11 of Maths Australia. One couple left very suddenly.
Which Madeline, caused us each to lose a point, incidentally.
Yes, because we thought they'd stay. I mean, surely they couldn't go after 1 week. Madeline and Ash are no more. We have very little details other than Ash basically changed his mind and said, I'm going to leave.
Well, I'm assuming that Madeline got some sort of a psychic download that told her to run for the hills. Don't even talk to the producers. Just go get the hell out of there. Get out of Dodge.
Well, I think Ash actually was a lovely guy. I think it was the worst match in Maths history, to be honest with you. It was awful.
I suppose in hindsight, and we thought they'd stay last week, but in hindsight, in 2020 vision, I'm kind of even wondering how they even got back to the Sky Suites at all.
Well, we've no sign that Madeline actually got back. The shots was just of Ash in the suite all alone. I don't think he even unpacked his stuff, to be honest with you. So anyway, look, it was the quickest ever exit. It lasted about 30 seconds on the show. From what I read online, a lot of people actually missed it and didn't even realise that they were gone. So anyway, no more.
Okay, good riddance.
10 couples, only one left. Amazing.
Jade and Ridge, then, they're definitely still there. They're there for the foreseeable future. They seem to be getting along absolutely fabulously.
Love's young dream. And there was a letter writing task. Rather predictably, Jade brought up about having her daughter so young. I don't know. I thought we were going to get some sort of a revelation and find out something more about her, but we didn't get it.
Well, it was obviously a defining point in her life. You know, she did have her daughter very young. She had to cope with that. And she had to cope with the fact that her partner was cheating on her. But she has a 7-year-old daughter, Victoria, now, and she seems to be getting on with her life. And she's met Ridge, and they seem to be definitely heading towards the direction of falling in love.
Yeah. They're clean as a whistle. If you notice, the other couples all seem to like them. They seem to be delighted they're getting on so well. They don't really express any kind of an opinion about the other couples either. They very much are in their own bubble, aren't they?
Very much so. I think the only comment that we heard at all was when Ridge said, I think we're strong in comparison to the other couples.
Yeah.
Jesus, or something like that.
He was a little bit patronising and looking down his nose at the other couples very slightly. I just wonder, could that be a seed of what's to come? And might that breed some resentment with the OG couples? We haven't really seen any resentment between the OG and the intruder so far. Look, doing very well. We're saying yes, yes.
Yes, are we? Yes. Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Michael and Stephen, our other intruder couple, again, the task they had was about intimacy because they were back at the intimacy week and they did hugs and a letter as well. Again, it really brought them closer together, it seems.
Stephen wrote the letter and he mentioned the fact that, you know, he has trust issues because his dad left the family when they were still quite young. He basically up and left and he's no relationship now with his dad.
Mm.
And it was very sad. And I thought that Michael handled it very well. And then when he kind of said, oh, come in for a hug, Stephen practically jumped all over him. He was like well in there, wasn't he? Just
yeah.
Well in for the hug.
Physically, they're at ease with each other. We saw that at the commitment ceremony the episode before. All good for them.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say, Michael did very, very slightly get involved at the fracas, at the dinner party.
Yeah.
He did kind of, the camera, you know, shot to him a couple of times and to see his reaction and he did make one or two comments. So maybe Michael's not afraid to get in there and get stuck into the drama.
He's,
I think there's more to come there.
He's more mature, more confident, I think, than Stephen.
100%.
So, yeah. And again, like most Americans, he's not shy about coming forward with his opinion sometimes. So again, that might be a little sign of what's to come in the weeks to come.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those two get on. And he seems to have a very good relationship with Cass as well.
Yeah, we'll get on to her as well later on. There's something stirring there. They're staying, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes and yes, 100%. Yeah.
Okay, Eden and Jaden, they're starting to come into the picture a little bit more. They're starting to find their voice, at least the Jaden lad is. I'd say the producers are getting on to him saying, you guys are too boring.
You need to make yourselves relevant.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, because I think the whole situation with the whole Jaden and Timothy I think that was very manufactured. It was like as if they said, oh, you know, you need to call somebody out. And he called Timothy out.
Right from the get-go, he was Lucinda's saviour. It was all about how much he liked Lucinda.
Right from the get-go of this week.
Yeah.
Not since the beginning of the experiment, in fairness.
No.
I was a little bit surprised by that because I didn't see that relationship forming at all.
No, we haven't seen that.
I didn't see any Jane and Lucinda relationship forming.
No interaction whatsoever.
No, well, it wasn't shown on the screen. So, look, they had their family and friends meeting, and that went really, really well. So Eden's father was there, and Mitch, good old Mitch, was there with the coach. Mitch got no airtime at all. That was interesting.
Yeah, he's not getting much change out of the whole thing.
I think he asked one question about falling in love, so we're in love, and that's really it.
That's
and there's
really
nothing
it.
Else at all.
I know.
But yeah, it's all tickety-boo for those two.
Yeah, it's definitely bringing them closer together. She doesn't seem to have a problem with him being loud and confrontational. She actually relishes it, I think.
She does. Yeah, she does. She does seem to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't really get involved.
No.
In fairness, I think she kind of knows that Jane is able to handle himself in that he doesn't sink too low. Mm-hmm. He doesn't talk over people. Yeah. And when he does call people out, you know, I think he handles it well.
Yeah, he's pretty articulate. But if you notice in the background, she sits there smiling.
She does, yeah.
She has a big smile on her face. She loves it.
Well, she's proud of her husband.
Well, no harm in that. No harm in that.
Are they going to stay? Are they?
Ah, yeah. There's nothing that would make you think they're going to leave next week.
Okay. So we really started with all the couples this week who are really loved up, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. Who we got?
Oh, God. Okay, so Andrea and Richard are next.
Yeah, surprisingly, they have hit this speed bump. It continued on, and I have to say, Richard looked shattered. He looked 10 years older.
He did. Andrea has an ick. There's no going back. Once you get the ick, there's just no going back.
I think women seem to get icks more than men, don't they?
Well, I don't know.
As guys, we find it very hard to understand. When does an argument or a row or a big disagreement between a couple? I have to say, I, and most men I know, it affects every part of our interactions. If we met a friend, the friend would know instantly there was something up with us. Women, on the other hand, can seem to compartmentalise these situations. And I think that's what Andrea was doing when she was on the phone with her friends. And it didn't seem to be about the row. She was just yapping away to her heart's content. And Richard couldn't understand it. I totally sympathise with where Richard is coming from. I always found those situations hard where women could seem to do this and men can't.
So basically what you're saying is if you met a friend after we had a big row or whatever, that you would be upset and he'd know you're upset or angry or annoyed or whatever the case may be, and you'd have a discussion about it.
I wouldn't necessarily have a discussion about it, but he'd know that I wasn't myself.
Okay, well, I mean, really, a friend would ask you what was wrong.
Oh, well, guys are a bit different like that.
See, I could go either one of two ways. A friend or a family member could ring me and I would say, oh my God, I'm just having this huge big row with Q and he's an asshole. And
Not that ever happens.
Not that it would ever happen, no. Or I could just kind of decide, I don't want to even think about that now. I don't want to deal with that now. I've had my say. I've done what I had to do. I'm just going to leave that. I'm going to park it aside and I'm going to get on with my life and I'm going to interact with my friends. I'm going to find out how they're getting on and talk about positive things for change.
Anyway, enough about us.
This is all about us. Should this not be all about us?
Well, as people can probably hear, we tend to try and talk things out, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
And 99% of the time, we do.
Well, look, at Richard and Andrea, they are trying to talk it out. And I think that the family situation, the friends and family situation helped.
Yeah.
I thought that his daughter and her friend did actually offer some really good advice. The one thing that I would say, Andrea's friend was calling her Drea and Richard was calling her Andy.
Hmm.
I just thought that was unusual.
Yeah, she calls her Drea. Drea.
And Richard was calling her Andy.
Yeah, constantly throughout the piece, that's what happened.
Yeah. Do you think that was unusual? Like if you have a short name, like I'm assuming that when they met and she said her name was Andrea, she might have said, look, my friends call me Drea or whatever. So where did Andy come from?
It might be a pet name that Richard has for her, or it might be more of a pet name that her friend has for her.
It was very week two he was calling her Andy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, it was just an observation. So Richard was obviously very upset and he was crying. Andrea could have been more supportive, I thought.
Was he crying though? You thought he was a bit fake.
Well, look, he had his head down and his shoulders were kind of going up and down and he was going through the motions of crying.
Yeah.
You know, I think, don't get me wrong, I have no problem with men crying.
Here we go.
Seriously, right? I do think absolutely men should cry.
Yeah.
You know, it clears up emotions.
Well,
and
you don't really buy it whenever men do cry.
But in that situation where you're having a conversation and then you break down in front of your daughter and your best friend, your wife's best friend that you've only met for the first time, I don't think it really would have been appropriate for Andrea to cry in that situation either. I just don't think it, look, I don't know, this is just personal opinion.
I actually disagree. They only had one each, wasn't it?
Yes.
So it was a small group, just four. They're close friends. They were extremely supportive. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree in terms of their friends, in that they were people of a similar ilk to themselves. They were being very supportive, really, really supportive. I think it was a great chance to display their emotions. And to be honest, certainly from the outside looking in so far, it worked.
Okay, I obviously sound really cold-hearted, but yeah, you know what? I'll get over it. I live with it. I'll own it. Sorry.
Okay, sorry. So do you think they're going to go out next week?
No, I think they're going to stay. I don't think that they'll stay together ultimately.
Hmm.
Yeah, Andrea has an ick. She does. I think she really does want to work through it. I think she really does want to find what they had.
Yeah.
I just, this ick thing.
Yeah, but you're saying yes anyway.
I'm saying yes.
I'm saying yes as well. Just a little point on the ick. I don't think it's just this comment that he made on the couch at the commitment ceremony. I think we had a little inkling from the time he was choosing the pictures, if you remember, going on about the nice bodies and stuff like that with the other girls.
Well, I had an ick then.
Yeah, I think it's more than that. And I think this is a running theme with him, in that he tends to be a little bit too open about the sexual stuff for a man of 62 years of age.
Oh, you'd wonder who he's going to be matched with during the couple swap, wouldn't you? That'll be telling.
Yeah. Well, that is what it's all about. In fact, with this next couple, we're thinking already about the couple swaps and how they could be Cassandra and Tristan. To be honest, I'm pretty fucking sick of them at this stage.
Yeah.
I really am. It's the same stuff again and again and again. Like, experts, there's no shortage of couples. There's still 10 couples in the thing. Way too many, from my point of view at this stage. They should get out of here now. Come on, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, as you said, they're every week they're just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
It's ultimately going to sink. You know, you're wasting your time. It is getting harder to watch. You know, I just don't know how much more supportive Cassandra can be. I don't know how much more Cassandra or the experts can validate Tristan.
Yeah.
You know, and his feelings, and tell him how wonderful it is. It's actually kind of embarrassing now, and it is uncomfortable to watch.
We got to see Cassandra's dad, which is a delight, but even then I didn't enjoy it half as much as I should have. Cassandra is finding a voice though, a little bit, just a little bit, and she's finding that voice at the dinner party table.
She is, and she actually stood up to Tori. She stood up to the snow.
This time it was Tori, yeah. And before it was Sarah.
And before it was Sarah, she called Sarah out there a couple of weeks ago. And she didn't really say much, but what she does say, you have to listen.
Yeah.
You know, because she does make sense.
Oh, she's articulate.
She's articulate, and she's strong when she needs to be. So it'll be, I don't know, I'm looking forward to seeing more of that Cassandra. But I think just this whole issue with Tristan, I think it's just dragging her down, and it's
like she's a single mother sitting there with her young teenage son sitting beside her at the dinner table. I mean, he might as well have earbuds in and be listening to some stuff.
And playing on his
Xbox or something. Yeah, absolutely. Or whatever. Yeah. It's ridiculous. He's just in another world. He's not involved.
He's like a 13-year-old in a 20-something-year-old's body, isn't he?
He is. Again, he's like Father Dougal and Father Ted.
Yeah. Well, I think that they'll stay this week. I think they will. But ultimately, they definitely won't be together.
I wonder, should I stick my neck out and try and get a point?
Any day now, Hugh. We're trying to keep this to 20 minutes.
I'll just say yes.
Okay.
I was too fond of saying no last week, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were. That's why you're losing.
I'm a boy who hardly ever says no.
Touché. Sarah and Tim seem to be, you know, travelling along much better these days. They're getting on well. Although the whole friends and family situation threatened to derail.
The best man was back, and he was doing his best to bring in the relaxed comment and try and flare up Sarah, but she was having none of it.
She held her whist. Yeah, absolutely. Her friend wasn't very supportive, and her friend really said nothing at all. She sat there and looked pretty, and she looked pretty. Tim,
oh, that was the one that was like the model. Yeah. Oh my God, she was like a beauty queen.
She was gorgeous, wasn't she?
Oh my God.
She was lovely.
Bloody hell.
Tim stepped in and told his friends basically to relax with the relax.
Mm.
the relaxed comments. Yeah. And Sarah thought this was wonderful that he stepped in. I thought it was a bit wishy-washy.
So
a bit lukewarm,
yeah,
to be honest. But look, she seemed to be happy. The other thing that we need to mention, and everybody's been emailing us, was the dress, Sarah's dress. We've had so many comments on that.
Apparently, that is a very expensive dress.
There wasn't much of it.
Yeah, it's a four-figure dress.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, but okay. Well over 1,000
euros.
She
wore it well. She wore it well. Yeah. Fairness to her. She looked really nice in it.
Did she, though?
Well, like, I preferred the other one that she had on her last week, yeah, that kind of cowl neck off-the-shoulder one.
She
really
looked
plain
as
one.
Nice as any woman could in that dress.
Yeah, well, that's look, she has to figure for it, and she wore it well. It was
good luck to her.
Yeah, exactly. At the dinner party then, Sarah did get involved with the Ellie stroke Ben situation. And she's having none of that situation at all.
Oh, yeah. She's making her point known on that one. I think she's putting her energies more into Ellie when it comes to, you know, the confrontation and all that.
Who do you think Sarah will get matched with?
Well,
the couples. Who would you like to see her matched with to cause a bit of drama, maybe?
Well, that's what I was alluding to. We have a funny feeling that Cassandra could be matched with Tim when they couple swap. And I have a funny feeling that Sarah could be matched with Jack when they couple swap. And that will get things very interesting.
I think that Cassandra and Tim would be a fantastic match. I think it'd be a lovely match. I think she's just strong enough for Tim, but in a quiet way, because Tim does need a strong woman.
One question I have to ask is, can we possibly go an episode without seeing Tim with his shirt off, ironing or doing something?
One request I have of the producers, let us never go an episode without seeing Tim with his top off doing his ironing.
Moving swiftly on. Do we think they'll stay, by the way?
I think yes. Yeah. I think definitely they're going to be in next week. There's something to be drastically going wrong for those two to leave.
Yeah, okay.
Tori and Jack.
Oh, never short of drama with Tori and Jack.
Jack got roasted at a commitment ceremony.
He did.
Had to start it there.
Can we just say at the foot of it, though, it was probably the best commitment ceremony ever.
It was absolutely amazing. I really enjoyed it. And I think the experts did a fabulous job.
Yeah.
I think they really, really did well.
We are moving, as you can probably tell, into the more confrontational couples at this stage. And there's no doubt about it, John, to use his own phrase, held his feet to the fire, didn't he?
Yeah, very much so.
When it came to Jack.
He was very strong.
He was hammered.
Loved seeing the old John back. Loved it.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it.
Totally. And Mel and Alessandra weren't far behind.
There was a glimmer of hope at the end that Tori's eyes had been opened.
Yeah,
we
got that strange little 2 or 3 minutes where the cleaners were in or whatever and they were putting the place back. Everybody was gone off the set and it was just the two of them sitting there talking to one another. Now, I don't know, you could say, a cynic would say that was really set up, but we got that little interesting reaction where he was saying to her, Jack was saying to Tori, you're coming back with me and that's all that matters. And she said, well, I have no choice. You have the key.
But she did have a choice because I think most of them have spent nights in different apartments. She could easily have said, do you know what? Need to get my head together. Don't need to be around Jack tonight. I need to think about this situation on my own. No, she was more than willing to go back with him.
Yeah, but it was still interesting that she even said it, that she, you know, for her, that was quite a challenge to him by even mentioning the fact that, you know, she had no choice, quote. You know,
maybe so. Well, look, it didn't last very long because we've seen it the next day off to get matching tattoos.
I know. You wonder what the hell is going through her mind.
I really do wonder what's going through her mind. And the other thing is, I think that when she's looking back on the episode, she's going to absolutely cringe at how naive she was and, you know, how she didn't see that Jack doesn't really give a rat's arse about her.
I think she has a fair idea. I think she's doing a Bronte here and she's just clinging in and clinging on. No matter what.
She's living in denial. She's swimming in that river.
Well, if you notice, though, at the dinner party, Jack was very, very quiet.
And she was vocal, but he wasn't backing her up the way she was backing him up.
No, not at all.
You know, in recent weeks. Again, at the dinner party, I just thought, you know, she just looked stupid.
Well, she made the biggest faux pas ever when she called Timothy out about his comments about what he said to Lucinda when he sat down. And she said, I'd never stand for that.
No, what she did say was something like, if Jack ever said that to me, I would put my foot down his throat or something.
Yeah.
Which was like, sorry, what?
I know.
And then Timothy, of course, great comeback, came back and said, really? And this coming from the woman who is okay with her husband saying, put a muzzle on it to someone else's wife. You know, and she was like a rabbit caught in the headlights then. Then the comments that she was making about Cassandra, when Cassandra tackled her and said, you know, like, what are you going on about with Timothy? His face is his face.
Yeah.
You know, because she kept going on about Timothy's face, like your smug face and all of this kind of stuff. Out of nowhere, she was attacking Timothy. Like, everything had died down. Timothy was sitting there. He was smiling. He was getting involved in conversation, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, she was just fuming and she had her pop at him. She was really clutching at straws. You know, she really had nothing to go by. Cassandra called her out and said, you know, like, what's your problem? His face is his face. You know, leave him alone, basically. And she got so annoyed with that. Said, don't tell me what I said. I know what I said. There's a food chain here and you're not at the top of it.
Yeah.
I'm at the top of the food chain.
How insulting was that?
Hello? Hello? Like, what planet is she on?
The room is kind of split in two, though. The majority of them, I think, view Timothy as a bear that can be poked. And we'll come on to that later, probably, when we talk about those two. But he's leaving himself wide open and he needs to wise up.
Himself and Tori both need to wise up. They need to get with the program. They need to cop on and read the room better, especially Tori. She needs to read her relationship better. She's a clever girl and she does kind of display how articulate she is. And I just think she thinks she's a hell of a lot more than she actually is.
I presume we both think that they are staying in because, let's face it, they love the limelight. The producers want them in, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, something drastic is going to happen with those two. And it would take something drastic to happen for Tori to cop onto herself and say,
okay,
leave. So,
okay.
Yes, they're in.
Okay.
All the way. Lauren and Jono.
Lauren and Jono. Well, I mean, they had a tough time, or rather the Jono fella had a tough time on the couch at the commitment ceremony. John, the expert, again, was having none of it. He challenged them hot and hard about the situation. You said you were going to back her up before it, and you didn't. What is going on?
You know, I disagree. I think Lauren had a harder time at the commitment ceremony because she had to sit there and listen to Jono apologise to Jack and Tori about what happened.
Well, yeah, I was going to come to that. We got the most amazing turnaround I've ever seen, where out of nowhere, I mean, the whole room, I've never seen such shock on so many faces. He goes around and apologises to the Jack and Tori one, and wasn't it wishes Tori happy birthday?
Yeah, I love you guys. Like, I'm sorry, but if that was me, if I was Lauren, I would have been saying, do you know what? Screw you. And I'm up and I'm out of there. There's no way I would have put myself. That's embarrassing.
Don't know how she stayed on the couch. I really don't know how she stayed on that couch.
I don't know how she did either. And again, she has a temper on her.
Mm.
You know, and she's well able to stand up for herself and she's articulate. Why? And that's casting doubts in my mind now over Lauren and Jono and the reason for being in the programme. You know, and the fact that they came back from it and they came back from it, there was so much just swept underneath the carpet.
Mm.
Jono, oh yeah, okay, I'm sorry, but it was so lukewarm, wishy-washy, didn't do anything at all to prove, you know, that he learned a lesson or that he was going to be stronger going forward. Nothing. They didn't have any friends and family interaction.
No, Timothy goes on about being the tin man, but Jono is still very much a tin man for me. There just doesn't seem to be any passion about the guy. I just don't feel it with Jono. I don't know what it is. He's just so weak or something.
I really don't know what Lauren sees in him. I don't see any similarities anymore between those two. Don't know what they have in common. I just question their motives for staying in. I don't know why they're there.
Well, they caught us out last week because we both thought they'd leave. And they stayed. Is it going to be the same again this week? What's going to happen?
I think they're both going to stay.
Yeah.
I definitely can't see Jono leaving because he doesn't have the balls to say leave.
Hmm.
Number one. I think, and just even if he did want to leave, I still don't think he'd have the balls to do it. So it's all going to be down to Lauren. And Lauren, again, just seems to be giving him the benefit of the doubt. And I don't know why. I don't know. Does she have some other reason for wanting to stay?
So, Lauren wants to stay in the show. I think that's clear. She's a big character in it. So
she was a big character in it. I have my doubts now.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, we're sort of saying yes, yes.
I just think there's ulterior motives going on, but I am going to say yes, yeah.
Now, at this point, we should say a little gentle reminder that when you are talking about maths with your friends, which people so often do, mention the podcast, please.
I think probably my favourite part of doing the podcast is reading the listeners' emails. Yeah. I love hearing the comments. I mean, I love the interaction. I really do.
Yeah. If you have any views about who you think is going to go next week, send them in. We'd love to hear from you on that one. We also love to hear, well, I especially love to hear where people listen to the podcast. Do they listen driving into work? Do they listen in the bath?
Yeah,
do they
really listen get a kick jogging? Out of that. Yeah.
You know, I do. I'm fascinated by it. One guy was the other side of the world driving a taxi in around Shanghai, and he used to listen to the podcast in Shanghai. So that's true. Crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and then the lady in Australia who used to listen on her morning jog because of the time difference. Yeah, she used to go out running and listen to her when she was jogging. Yeah.
We love it all. So pop in your emails. We love to read them. And as we say, tell your friends about the podcast. That is the best way that people learn about us and join in the fun. Ellie and Ben.
I think Ben, in fairness, and I've said this, I don't think he's malicious. I think he's just stupid. And that's reinforced now. I really don't think that he has the intelligence to play a game. I think he's just literally, he's socially awkward. And I know that belies his what he does for a living, and that he's a tour guide and he's engaging with groups of people all the time. But there are some people who, in their professional lives, like me, they're very outgoing and they're assertive and, you know, they've no issue in their professional lives, but they are more socially awkward in their private lives.
My take on it is this, and it's different from the cast members, funny enough. My take on it is that when Ben goes on with the stuff like the list and the fact that he doesn't think Ellie is a good match, he's telling the truth. The rest of the time, when he says he's trying to make a go of it and Ellie's a great girl and she's this, that and the other, he's lying through his teeth. He's trying to kid himself.
You know, I think it's more that actually he's an okay guy underneath it all. He's a bit thick, but he's an okay guy. I think that he realises when he kind of is honest and says things that are derogatory or can perceivably be negative comments about Ellie. I think he's kind of thinking, oh my God, everybody thinks I'm a bad guy now. Yeah. Everybody's going to have a bad opinion of me. All of the Australian public will hate me and all of this kind of stuff. I really need to make an effort to make this better. I need to make sure that everybody knows I'm actually a good guy. And then he completely overdoes it and he just comes across as stupid.
He comes across as a dickhead.
He does completely.
There's no other word for it. He comes across as being a dickhead.
He just can't make a decision to save his life.
No, and he comes across, you know, the one thing most people in this world like is somebody who at least they, you know, they're consistent in their opinion. Ben is anything but consistent. He changes like the weather. He came into that dinner party saying he was going to make a go of it. They were going to be a team, even though they weren't going in together, which I thought was hilarious when he was saying that. And then his seat was barely warm at the table and he broke up with her in front of everybody.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not entirely surprised that they walked into that dinner party separately. He sang that song, Hugh.
Oh, God.
That cringy song. I was looking at Ellie's face. She was saying all the right words, but I think the wheels turning in her head going, oh, my God, what am I going to do with this situation?
Well, he didn't even write a song for a start. He wrote down a load of words, sang a song once, and couldn't even, by his own admission, remember it again.
Thank God.
Just as well.
Thank God. I actually couldn't have sat there and listened to him singing that to her.
Yeah.
Although her reactions would have been hilarious. But it was all cringe. You know, it was like he got roasted as well, as I say, at the commitment ceremony. Yes, I'm going to make a go of it. I'm going to really try. And he was on a week's notice and all of this kind of stuff. And then he disappears. He disappears for 2 days. Couldn't be found.
Yeah.
And then rocks up then with his pillow and his guitar. What was he doing? Sleeping rough in the park?
You know, and he still has to sleep.
And then he's really tired. So he has to sleep because he hasn't slept. Like, he must have been in a park busking or something like that. I don't know what he was doing.
Weird.
The whole situation is weird out. Are these two going to stay? I'm going to say no.
No, they are gone. I agree with you on that one.
Like, really, if it'll be interesting to see, though, and I've said this before, that no matter what she says, Ellie, no matter what she says through the week and, you know, prior to commitment ceremony and all of this kind of stuff, she still sits there wrapped up in him, holding his hand and all of this. And even when she's saying things, negative things that happened during the week, she's still sitting there holding his hand.
No, it's definitely end of the line now. Yeah. I'm sure of it. Sure of it. Has to be end of the line now.
Well, it looks like we'll be down to what? 10 couples, 9 couples next week?
Well, we have 10. If they go, that's it. But then again, these guys, Lucinda and Timothy.
Mm.
We wrote the most notes on Lucinda and Timothy. didn't we?
We did, yeah. This whole Timothy was thrown under the bus at the commitment ceremony. How? Explain it to me, please.
Well, you see, Timothy kidded himself. He went off on a load of activities. I wouldn't even call them dates by the sound of things, with Lucinda. And they had a fairly fun week. They even went to a strip club.
Yeah.
Although it sounded like they were all things that Timothy liked to do rather than Lucinda would like to do. I mean, I can't see Lucinda at a strip club somehow.
No, I can't. I can't either, no.
No.
Sounds like a great friendship. Hmm. And Lucinda said, yes, that's exactly it. Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head.
So then the trouble started in that the Jaden fella weighed in and you got that interaction between them. And then Lucinda was agreeing with the experts and she kind of said, we're not making any progress.
Yeah, which is true.
And Timothy, from his point of view, totally blindsided.
They had 3 days of activities together. They had 3 days of fun and, in inverted commas, friendship.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And Jaden's right. It's not friends at first sight.
Mm.
It's married at first sight.
Yeah.
They haven't made any progress. They went to the, or hadn't made any progress. Actually, it had gone back 10 steps.
Yeah.
You know.
He just couldn't let it go. Well, he was absolutely fuming when they sat back down. That's why you got the don't talk to me situation. It was like, I don't know whether he was trying to calm himself down or what was going on. But
again, if I was Lucinda, I wouldn't have taken that chair from him. I would just said, you know what? Get over yourself. How dare you speak to me like that? And I would have gone up and walked out.
Well, John actually, didn't John look over at him and say something more to him? He could hear the comment as they sat down, couldn't he?
I don't know. I can't remember that he said that.
Yeah, I think John did, yeah.
But you could be right. But he was very angry anyway, and everybody could see it. He was absolutely like a bull when they were going into the friends and family reunion thing. I mean, that was just embarrassing. He let himself down big time.
Oh, yeah. But Lucinda's dad was well able for him.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah. He was very funny and he was very good. And he really did tear down Tim's walls. Like, I mean, he really did. And for the first time, we could actually see Timothy laughing and joking and kind of immersing himself in the process.
And the dad told him to have a one night stand with his daughter. Something no dad has probably ever done in history.
I know, but I could see the logic. It was like, shit, I got off the pot. You know, but it's true though, yeah. Hugh. Like, just, you know, you've been dancing around it. Just do it. And if it's crap, you know it's crap.
Yeah.
But it actually might be good and might bring the two of you together.
Mm.
Like, it's not as if they don't know each other. They've been living together for, what, 6 weeks now?
Apparently she's quite skilled in that department, so, you know.
Apparently so. And she really likes him. And he supposedly, over the last 3 days, had made loads of progress for her.
Yeah, but going into the dinner party, that all seemed to have been forgotten. He was out for revenge with Jaden big time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. But
couldn't let it go.
Yet again, can we talk about Lucinda's dress?
Oh, God.
I love Lucinda. I think she's just the most gorgeous person. But she arrived at the dinner party wearing a pair of curtains that were obviously taken from a care home in 1978.
That was my line.
Complete.
That was my line.
The Supergirl.
I want my line back.
Cape and gloves. What was she thinking? I know she has this quirky taste. I get it. And, you know, and I get it. But that was a step too far.
I'll agree.
And the collar.
I'll leave it at that. Yes. Well, I had a real problem with the collar. Oh, my God. The collar.
She looked like something out of the Elizabethan times.
Blackadder too.
There was such a mishmash of, I don't know. And like I say, she is just a gorgeous girl, but not even Lucinda could carry that off.
Lucinda's personality, though, really came out in that pre-dinner party drinks episode. She was just lovely with everybody, even Jack. She's a master at diplomacy. She really is.
Yeah, she was able to call him out and yet at the same time be supportive of him.
Yeah.
With Jaden, she listened to what Jaden said about her relationship with Timothy.
Yeah.
She defended Timothy, but in a very nice way. She didn't get emotional. She didn't get defensive. You know, she just literally talked it through. At the dinner party as well, when Timothy was absolutely going off on one, she really did try to support her husband.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she let herself down by supporting her husband.
What's clear is, though, that Timothy is like a bear. He can be prodded so, so easily. He goes on about maturity, criticising Jaden, saying, I won't take any advice from anybody under 30. But he acted so immaturely.
Hang on for a second. Was he able to date somebody under 30, as in a 23-year-old? Did that not come out last week?
Well,
I'll date you, but I won't take you seriously.
Yes, well, it shows how seriously he must have taken that 23-year-old. I would definitely take that as
So what was
point.
He doing, taking advantage of her?
I don't
like
know.
That kind of whole opens up a whole new can of worms for me.
Yeah, well, some people, that's more the relationship. They like to be in charge, you know?
Yeah, I know, but he obviously can't be in charge. He doesn't have the emotional intelligence. He's not emotionally intelligent here. He's not.
No, but back to his behaviour in social situations. Okay, Lucinda went out of her way to support him, be calming and soothing for him. But you know, if anybody poked him, he reacted. And that's not a good way to be.
I think he's insecure. He's just, well, he is insecure. We know that he's insecure. And yeah, you're right. And he's not emotionally intelligent. And he is like a bear. He is absolutely like a bear. He just, he can't control his emotions. He's just setting himself up for a fall the whole time. He just needs to keep his mouth shut.
Okay, decision time on them two. Do you want to go first, or will I?
You go first, go on.
I'm going to stick my neck out and I am going to say no, that they won't last next week.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, because the only redeeming part of that whole scenario was the fact that at the end, of the dinner party, Timothy was really singing Lucinda's praises. And I like to think that there's a breakthrough there. I think that for the first time, he has actually realised what a wonderful person Lucinda is and how much she is in his corner and how much she will support him. That's just from me. So we're going a yes and a no.
Gonna maybe change.
No, you
that.
Can't.
Can't change. I cannot go back and
thank you very much, guys, for joining us again. We look forward to reading your emails.
Okay, then. Okay, we'll end up on that. That's my line. Keep watching maps, guys.
Take care, guys. Later.
Bye for now.
Before you go, just a quick request. Please like and subscribe to our podcast. And if you can, pop on a notification. That way you'll know when our podcast drops. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can email us on hindacastreality@gmail.com. hindacastreality@gmail.com.